Moncrief on News Talk.
Dr. Joanna Fortune is in with us. Good afternoon, Joanna.
Good afternoon, Mairead.
We've got plenty to get through here today,
so
we will get straight on into it. First one is, my 4.5-year-old is the most playful, inquisitive and energetic little boy, and we absolutely adore him. We've been working on him dressing himself all summer, and it can take from 5 minutes to 20 minutes, depending on how distracted he gets. We love his playful side and can sometimes try to make a game out of the task. But with back to preschool and work looming, I fear we will end up doing it for him and risk the progress we have made. I'm just wondering, is this normal in terms of development for a child of his age?
I mean, absolutely yes. I mean, he sounds like a joy, first of all. He sounds wonderful. That playful, inquisitive energy. That's what you want in your 4-year-old. And well done even getting him to dress himself. But you know what? It happens a lot with 4-year-olds is, frankly, they just have more interesting things to do. So distractibility is so high because they're like, ooh, look at this. Or I haven't touched this toy that you were thinking of giving away, but it's now my new favourite thing again. I haven't touched that in weeks, but I'm now obsessed with it in this moment. So this is really normal. But I would think because you're doing a lovely job and, you know, they say here sometimes we try to make a game out of the task. That is always the best. Make it fun to get it done. But part of your game now might be you've established he can do it. You've built up some skills over the summer, but now you're on a schedule. You might want to build in, you know, one of those 5-minute sand timers or 10-minute sand timers.
Great idea.
And you just want to put it somewhere that a 4-year-old can see it, but not get their hands on it. Because otherwise, you know, the natural thing is they flip it to get more time. But if you say, I wonder, can you get dressed before the sand hits the bottom? You're bringing in a little bit of challenge play, a little competitive edge coming in there, and just focused on getting the task done, but in a set time. However, all of that said, when you're getting into the sort of back to school, back to preschool routine, this is beyond 4-year-olds. This goes for everybody next week onwards. Try to build in an extra 10, 15 minutes in the morning time. It sounds like a lot, you know, you're like, you're barely getting things done in the morning. But if you can build in 10, 15 minutes, it gives you a bit of flexibility for his slower paced getting dressed, and it just alleviates that stress.
Or what about, because I will be doing this next week as well, laying all the clothes out in a little bundle. So from the socks, the jocks,
everything
laid out. And and maybe if they don't have time between now and back to school, because it just feels like it's right upon us, an alarm on your phone before the beeps. Can you?
Yeah, the beeps will work. But if you can do the sand timer for a 4-year-old, it's more visual.
Okay.
Because they see the time going with them.
A beep,
it's already over before they realise
it.
So their regulation isn't great for that. An older child, I think, could do that. But the anticipation, that kind of regulation piece, it's not in there yet. But if they see the time going, they're like, ooh, I better hurry up. I better hurry up. It gives them a visual focus.
And also for this parent, there is also, I'm sure, no harm the very odd day to go, you know, little Jamie or Johnny, come here, mom's going to dress you today super fast. We have to be like superhero. There's no, that's not going to set anyone back.
You're not derailing their development by doing that.
Okay. Well, I think this little fella is amazing because I have a 6-year-old who would definitely be as lazy as sin and may like me
to
dress her forever. So there's great advice there. And it sounds like your mom and dad are doing a great job with that that little fella. Okay, another one here. And I have to say, this one kind of broke my heart when I read it this morning before the show. My 15-year-old son plays different sports. He's not the strongest or weakest, but generally the solid player, but always seems to be at the butt end of jokes or slagging in the group of lads he plays with. We try to tell him to laugh it off, but it still continues and it really bothers him. He just seems to be an easy target as he gives them the reaction they want. It's not malicious and it's more the lads just messing around and they don't see how it impacts on my son, and it really does get to him. He would say he's on the outside all the time and I can see he isolates himself as he just can't seem to deal with it. He will just bury himself in his phone rather than chat to the lads before or after the match or the training session to avoid it. What can I do to help him deal with it so that he doesn't feel like an outsider and can deal with this slagging? It breaks my heart to see him upset. He's not looking to be best mates. He has other mates who he gets on with. And they are good together. But with these guys, he just wants them to stop slagging him. I worry he will just walk away from playing sport as it's now no longer fun for him.
I mean, I'd worry about that too. I think that's a really valid worry. But there's something, and I'd be really interested in what listeners' take on this is, Mairead, as well, because a bit like you, I read this and kind of went, oh gosh, it really hit me, because something in it just feels off. Mm-hmm. Like it, this doesn't feel like fun. And it's really important that we all hold in mind, and especially with your children in general, but teenagers, that if everyone isn't having fun, it's not fun. Yeah. It's just not. And it feels like this has a bit of a mean edge to it. Whether that is consciously intended or not, that's what it is. It has a meanness to it. It's a little nasty. Mm-hmm. And I just don't like the overall feel of it. It's getting very close to, if it's not already in it, to bullying.
Bullying. I mean,
it really is.
I felt like that this morning when I read it. But then I realised that whoever sent this in, the mum or dad, that they've said it's not malicious and it's more the lads just messing around.
And that could be true. It may not be conscious. They're like, oh, it's only a joke. We're not serious. But if the person that you're targeting is not enjoying it, then actually you don't get to decide if it's only a joke. That's not your, that's not in your control. And bullying is defined as, you know, conscious repeated behavior by an individual targeting another or inciting a group to target another. This is very, very close to the edge of that. And again, especially if it's not intended, what I'm wondering, Mairead, is if this parent could discreetly nudge the coach to just give ease up, lads, cut it out directive, and see, is that enough? Just alert them to, look, we need this nipped now. It's going on far too long. The other thing is, because this kid is 15 and not a young kid, but still at that age where they, you know, it's not so easy to ask your parents for help, but you still really do need it.
Oh, you do.
Very much so. And if you could ask him if he would like you to subtly intervene, but preface this by validating his experience rather than minimizing it or telling him, just laugh it off. Don't give them a reaction. I understand saying that, but inadvertently, that could minimize his very valid experience of this. And it might be more important to say, look, it's awful. I think that must be really uncomfortable. And even before you get to training or the match, you're already anticipating this is going to happen. It's going on too long. I would hate it if it was me.
So you think this parent should almost ask the son's permission to say it to a coach or a club member or whatever?
I think you've two options. And I think the sort of, with my professional hat on with teenagers, unless there is a reason not to, I prefer to involve teenagers in decisions you're making, because they're at an age when it's really important that you empower them as well. The parent part of me is like, oh, I'm talking to the coach one way or the other.
You know? I am going to get those bunch of lads. Yeah.
You have to weigh that up and kind of have that line of, if you feel, and this parent listening knows their kid way better than we do from a snippet like this, but if you think you could talk to the coach and say, look, we're on the cusp where he could drop out of sports and we don't want that. Can you help us nip this in the bud by just saying to lads, cut it out. It's not funny. It's not all right. Stop it. And if the coach is like, yeah, but if you think, no, that could make it worse, or your son will spot what's going on, I'd prefer you talk to him about it, because he will also then learn that you're aware of how hard this is for him. Because I think with kids, when you, they're having a really difficult time and they're really uncomfortable, but we say, ah, look, it's only a laugh. Just don't take it seriously. It causes them to doubt their own reading
feelings
of the situation. And at 15, I'd like him to trust his instincts, to know when it's not okay. And his overt behavior, he's isolating himself, he's burying himself in his phone rather than chatting to them. He's showing he's not okay with this.
A listener has said, I think that parent needs to ask that kid if he really enjoys the sport to start with. So,
yeah, it sounds to me now when I read, that's a really good question, but it sounds to me like he actually does enjoy the sports. But it's the banter, let's quote
call it
unquote.
That. I know, I hate that word too.
This unkindness that's going on, that's taking the fun. I would imagine, my inference is, it's his love of the sport that's actually keeping him in there.
And just to go on another point in there, I love that he's been saying he's not the strongest, he's not the weakest. He's generally a solid player. They're the players that need
to stay. He's important on the team.
He's so important. Really, really important. So lots of great advice there. Thanks for that, Joanna. Okay, the next one. Our four-year-old son is causing us a lot of grief at the moment because he simply won't come back to us when we ask him to. This mostly manifests itself on our road where all the kids go out to play together in the evenings. But when we tell him it's time for dinner, he simply won't accept it and refuses to come in. This usually ends up in a seen on the road with kicking and screaming. How do we get him to accept it and comply? Well, first off, I'd say if you can get them to do that at four.
I mean, I could retire on this can crack this, but this is so beautifully, frustratingly four. Like, it's just a perfect example, because at this age, it's really not defiance or oppositional behaviour that you're seeing. It might look like it and sound yes. like it, but it's not really. It's more that they have other things that they're more interested in. It's that the world in general is exciting, it's new, it's interesting, it's engaging. And you saying, hey, I've got a boundary over here for you. You know what? No, mm-hmm. I'd rather be out here. I'm also thinking that this is a four-year-old playing outside with probably a wide age range.
Yes.
And so when you're saying, come on in, it's time for you to come in, other kids are not coming in. Uh-huh. And so it's very difficult for a four-year-old to hold two conflicting sets of rules in mind at the same time. But they're allowed to stay out, but I'm not. That's not fair. And we all know if you've had a four-year-old, justice is very,
very
pronounced to them at that age. It's very loud. But they won't understand your reasoning and rationale behind, no, you're four, you've got to come in.
That we want to feed you and give you a lovely, delicious
exactly.
meal that we've made.
He's too young to understand that. He's too young to kind of be able to work that out himself and understand it. But I think if you try a playful approach with four-year-olds, it's always the best thing. First of all, I would suggest you join him at the outdoor play on the street for the last kind of 10 minutes. Your physical arrival and presence will be a subtle reminder of, oh, they're out. It's going to end soon. And it gives them that cue. But for about 10 minutes, you know, gently, gradually, you're saying, time is nearly up. One more game, one more kick of the ball, one more chasing, whatever it might be. I'm not saying your kid at four is going to high five you and say, fair enough, I'll come in now. But it's just helping them
okay.
to ease up.
So I do that with mine. Like, they're now 6 and 7. But, you know, 2 more minutes. You know, they don't know what 2 more minutes
is. No, you may as well say 2 weeks.
It is a warning. And I've often wondered, does it work? It seems to. So
yeah, they don't know what two minutes. That's very abstract. But
yes.
what they know is soon.
Something.
Something is changing. I will have to go in. But when you're talking about a playful approach with kids this age, and it might be from getting him from the outdoor play to the house, you might do, let's do elephant walk. Let's stomp in like elephants. Let's roar in like lions to the house. Let's chase each other. Red light, green light for stop, start, stop, start. You're doing all kinds of funny walks. Let's hunt for a stick between here and the house. Let's find a stone.
So other games to get
them here. Towards the house.
Okay.
That could be helpful.
Okay. And our final one today. Our 9-year-old is heading back to school in the next few weeks, and the invitations to sleepovers are beginning to gather steam. She is very anxious about it, as she hasn't been on one before. She keeps asking us questions about what will happen if she can't get to sleep, or if she can't find the bathroom during the night because it's dark. How do we prepare her for all of this and help her to embrace the experience rather than dread it?
I'm just going to own my own stance on this. I'm not a massive advocate for sleepovers.
Yay.
And particularly at this age.
Yay.
Okay, for lots of reasons. And that is in no way a judgment, because I think if they work for people and you're happy with them and you've got a sort of reciprocal system with a like-minded parent or group of parents, then absolutely do it if it works for your kids. But it does not work for lots and lots of kids. And 9 is still very, very young. And a sleepover, we have to, just because, especially because it sounds like, you know, this is a bit of a thing in the class or in the class group, it is not compulsory. Participation in this is not obligatory. 9 is a very young age. It's really important that our children know to trust their instincts, those uh-oh feelings that they get, and that they can say, no, I don't want to. This isn't for me. And it's okay. Her concerns are valid.
Yeah.
The things that she's coming to her parent with, these are valid concerns.
They are. How do you find the bathroom in the dark? And what if you can't get to sleep?
And what if you can't? And you're tired and you're scared and you want to come
yes.
home, but it's 3 in the morning and you'd have to wake up the other parent to call home. It's not straightforward. And if she's never had a sleepover before, I would certainly start with a sleepover in a family member's house, long before a classmate. If you are saying, look, no, this is a thing we really want to do, it's part of our social circle, try hosting one to observe how she handles it before she goes on one.
That's
be the host rather than the person going. You can always look at the pros and cons of this. And look, at some people are going to say there are pros. It can support kids to adapt to new situations, increase independence, give them experience of social peer situations outside of school. I'm going to counter argue you can establish and achieve all of those in other ways than sleepovers. But you can do it that way. The con is it does put kids in new environments without their safe, familiar bits and bobs and comforts and knowing what's going on. I'd be saying find a daytime alternative to keep the peer interactions up. Have even an evening party.
I'm saying a pizza night, a movie night.
Even in their pyjamas.
Exactly.
You know, where they come in pyjamas, they watch a movie, listen to music, eat pizza and go home at 9 o'clock.
PJs. That sounds like a much better idea to me. I'm coming up on this now because 8-year-old in September, she turns 8 in September and she's started asking if she wants to go off with, you know, everyone in the village to stay in their house. But I'm saying no.
Yeah.
I mean, sleepovers when I was growing up, which, you know, is not today or yesterday, but were very much only a teenager thing.
Yeah.
And I think
I remember them in sixth class.
Possibly 12, fifth,
that kind of 12-ish age. And even when I look back, I mean, God, I don't know. Were we right to have them either? Because it was chaos. It was pandemonium.
There was no sleep pad.
People were getting each other's nerves. There'd be bickering, all of those things. And look, ultimately we worked it out and there were some lovely memories. But I just think 9 is quite young. And if you've a 9-year-old who's letting you know, I don't feel good about this, that's your answer.
Yeah. Don't push it. So auntie's house or, you know, grandparents'
house.
Absolutely. First.
But then do the kind of evening party because it gives that semblance of
coolness.
It's a bit more grown up and we're trying something new and it's a bit later getting to bed than typical, but they are still sleeping in their own beds.
Okay, it's great advice. There's a big reaction to the 15-year-old and the sports problem we read out. The parents really need to get behind their son. It's almost that they are agreeing with the bullies but saying it's only fun. I don't think so. Maybe they have heard what the guys are saying, whereas, you know, we haven't. So I would kind of disagree with that texter there.
Yeah.
The coach should have told the other kids to stop without any parental intervention. It sounds like he might be a parent himself or just allow it. I've experienced this in GAA as a kid. It can be very clicky. So you're saying the coach
that's
is probably a parent, yes.
But it can be very clicky and that's what that sounds like actually, that this kid just, he's saying, I'm an outsider, I'm not in the clique.
Okay. Tell the 15-year-old that they're either laughing at him or laughing with him. If he laughs at whatever they say, they may be disappointed with the response and they will pick up on that and they will eventually stop.
Putting a lot, it's very valid actually, but I think it's putting a lot of pressure on a kid who's already saying, I can't do that. I'd rather stare into my phone and isolate myself than engage with it.
Yeah, it is putting a lot on someone who's already feeling uncomfortable.
Exactly.
My son went through this almost bullying at school, and that's the exact phrase they have used, almost bullying at school. If a child is unhappy in himself because of others, ask the school adults to look at his relationships with the other kids to help. If it continues, maybe look at other schools. I think they're talking about other sports or teams. There is a need for drama plays by outsiders in school to show the bad effects of bullying. I don't understand that. Kids sometimes do not understand what they are doing. And you would kind of said that maybe these guys,
it may not be conscious at all, but in which case they need somebody to say, hey, it's not okay to do this.
Yes.
Let me stop you right there. Yeah
exactly. Okay. Well, there's lots of great advice there, Dr. Joanna Fortune. Thank you so much. And if anyone has any other parenting questions, they can send them in to us afternoon@newstalk.com.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.